Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to 2021 and episode 87 of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, the official Pokemon podcast of comicbook.com. We are back, baby.
Yes.
After a nice, it's only been a week, but you know, yeah. The holidays happened, 2020 happened, and yeah. We are here for 2021.
Yep.
I'm Jim Viscardi, one of your hosts. Joined by Megan Peters in High Def and Christian Hoffer.
Hello, I am here. Welcome to 2020 plus it's extra.
It's new year, but it's the same old us.
That's right. Well, it's not the same old us. I mean, I feel good. I have my coffee. I am ready to roll. If you're new to the show, congratulations. I hope you enjoy your stay. This is a Pokemon news show for all intents and purposes. It is available wherever podcasts can be found or on Wednesdays at 12 Eastern, noon Eastern. You can join us live on Twitch where we have some folks in there right now and get involved in the show. We talk about all things Pokemon. We talk about a lot of its news. We talk about the video games. We talk about the stuff. We talk about the anime. You name it. If it's got Pokemon, we're talking about it. So, bit of a lighter week than anything else to get the year started, but that's okay. That's okay because
all I know is there's one thing on the itinerary to talk about that Hoffer neglected to put on that I wrote about this week that needs to be mentioned.
What?
Did you not see the horrifying story about the
Cinnabon? Someone didn't read the notes or look at the thumbnail because we are talking about.
The oh horrifying my God!
Pikachu. It's the deep dive. Megan.
It's not showing up. It just doesn't show after commercial break for me. But anyways,
how dare you? How dare?
See, this is how I start the year. I started by making a fool out of myself. However, I do blame because I don't see. Actually, I don't see it on the notes, so I'm gonna have to refresh my browser.
Before we dive into the script, I do want to bring up something that I just remembered. So my son and I have started to, we're working our way through the newest set of Pokemon Journeys episodes. And why did no one tell me that Galarian Farfetch'd sounds like Sean Connery? Literally Sean Connery as a freaking Pokemon bird. No one told me this. And so I watched the episode last night, and I'm just like, wait, what? And so I, rewound it. It's like, oh, yeah, Sure-fetched. Or far-fetch. Ha, 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 ha. Like, I was like, oh, my God, what? Like, this is the one British accent in the show set in Great Britain. I was amazed. I was shocked, and, everyone has failed me. That's what
I just wanted you to discover it for yourself.
I was amazing.
I love it. I also have some big news. I caught a shiny Ho-Oh.
2 years after me.
2 years after me.
Here we go.
Literally my first Ho-Oh raid. Got an invite from Ace Trainer. If that person is a listener, thank you. So it was pretty cool. Like I thought, oh hey, I'll just get a Ho-Oh. And because I guess I did not realize, because this is my first raid shiny, that I guess I thought they would have shown up shiny in battle, but they don't. They show up just normal. And then when you get to the catch thing, that's when you know you're getting a shiny. So I was excited for that one because I wasn't expecting it. And that's the thing I like about Chinese. When you don't expect them and they show up, I feel like you appreciate them a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. It's always nice. Also, somewhat frustrating during those moments. But the payoff's worth it when you do see it's a shiny and you realize.
I mean, you know, when you've got, you know, your spotlight hours or community things, it's one of those moments, like when you're looking for them, you get frustrated when you can't find them or whatnot. But when they just show up, it's just nice.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. All right. Well, since we're talking about Pokemon Go, let's talk about the Pokemon Go news this week. Pokemon Go adds new Pokemon as a Go Battle League reward.
Yes. So Frillish, which is a ghost slash water type Pokemon, it's the ghost jellyfish. Will be added to as a guaranteed encounter for anyone who reaches rank 20. So that's the big news coming out of Pokemon Go this week. They're adding that as a reward. They made some rebalance changes. We're still waiting to see exactly how that's going to shake out, like in terms of like how drastic of a change they are. But it does look like this will mainly affect the Great League and the Ultra League. A lot of like the most popular Pokemon with and their move sets could be impacted by those rebalance changes. So we could see a shakeup in the meta there. So some big changes coming out of Pokemon Go this week.
Yeah, and also the collection challenges are live.
Amen. Yes.
So what are the collection challenges?
So basically, you know, it's a way for those of us who already have all the Pokemon, like when they do these events, like the Unova collection challenge, you know, the Unova event, a lot of the featured Pokemon are Pokemon that most players already have. And I feel like we're going to get more and more of those type events, especially as we're running out of Pokemon to stick in this game.
Which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, we're going on 5 years of this game, so. Yeah. So as an attempt to give players something else to do and reward players for participating, they are going to do these collection challenges. And they contain there's 10 Pokemon to collect. You have to catch them over the course of the event. You can't already have them in your collection. You can't trade for them. So you either have to catch them or hatch them. It's basically a new type of challenge.
Yeah. Nice. We have a NickFighter31 in the chat saying he did it in 30 minutes sitting at his desk. So not hard. I know, like, I just opened up my game, and there are Pokemon freaking everywhere. So they're not making it too hard to do. So, you know,
I think I have 6 of the 10 so far. Like, you know, I haven't seen a couple, but then again, I haven't left my house in 2021. So that might explain some of that.
There's still time for you, Christian. Still time.
Yeah. Well, I'm just happy. I personally am a fan of the this Unova collection challenge because there is a couple of Unova Pokemon that I don't have the full evolutions for in Pokemon Go. Right. So this gives me a chance to finally catch up on some candies. I felt when they did that rollout, and again, we were in a pandemic, so my experiences were limited to the block that I live on. Yeah. Some of these Pokemon were a little bit scant, and due to the fact that I don't do as much walking as I used to because I'm literally trapped in my house, you know, I was not able to get the candies to evolve some of these Pokemon all the way. So stuff like Roggenrola, Oshawott, you know, I'm collecting those candies up now, making up for some lost time.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
The other big thing that's coming out of Pokemon Go this week, of course, is that, you know, if you live in a crowded population center during a global pandemic, you can go and risk your own health and safety to get North Face to X Gucci items.
I mean, that's what I want.
You know.
I mean, obviously I'm not going to put myself or others at risk during the pandemic for it, but I will say the Gucci, whatever. But I will say the North Face actually kind of looks decent. Kind of.
Nick Fighter 31 says, just drive to a stop, spin it in the car.
They're all in malls. They're all in malls.
Oh, are they? Oh, yeah. You can drive close to them. You can get close.
That's the thing.
I've circled them all to hit some stops before.
I took a look at some of, like, because, you know, like the nearest stop to me is in King of Prussia, Pennsylvania, which is a place that I definitely knew existed before this. And it's located in a giant outlet mall.
King of Prussia is like one of the biggest malls of America, biggest malls in America. Like, what?
Why would I have any knowledge of that? Jim knows because he probably visited it in a Build-A-Bear costume.
Because I lived mall life. And so, you know, when you have competing stores in the area, you know where all the, what the big malls are, because they're your competition.
Jim Biss Party, # mall life. That's amazing.
Jim Biss Party. # wearing Build-A-Bear skins.
That's it. I like.
We just see you lurking around a local Hot Topic.
I know we're on a tangent, but like that, like working in a mall is one of the weirdest kind of things, because it's almost like high school again, or like a second high school, because there are more people who are, you know, there are a lot of younger people who are working at a bunch of stores at the mall, right? Like it's where, you know, I was 16, 17 working at the mall. And so you get to know a lot of, you know, the people who work at the store, you know, next to you or across from you or whatever. And like you have your own like mini mall gang, and you know, there's cliques, and we don't talk to the people on the Macy's wing of the mall because that's where Abercrombie is, and you know, screw those guys and whatever. So like mall life is a very real thing. And it's one of those things where retail is a thankless job. I don't think anyone will disagree with you there. But to me, it is like the liberal arts degree of the workforce, where I think you learn a ton of skills that help set you up for like other, like, you know, kind of workplace environment stuff that like I always recommend it to, you know, for kids or whatever who are just getting like their first jobs, as opposed to like working at a pizzeria or whatever, because it's just different. So anyway,
very specific alternatives there. You know, either work at a mall or work at a pizzeria. Very Long Island.
Life lessons from Jim Viscardi coming in hot. Right.
Look, the only options are work at the mall, work at the pizza place, or work on a golf course, and like that's really it.
You've just described the Long Island economy.
So okay, anyway, let's get back to business, because I think we should talk about the space station event.
That's cool.
Christian tempered everyone's expectations. We said, don't expect, you know, big things. And what we got was pretty cool.
We
didn't get it. Japan got it, right?
Yeah, it was a cool event. I mean, if you've ever wanted to see Rayquaza fly in space, you got it. I liked the event. It was cool seeing Pikachu float around an astronaut. They did not announce Pokemon Diamond and Pearl remakes because they were never going to announce the Pokemon Diamond and Pearl remakes. Anyone who thought that, like, I'm going to go on a little bit of a tangent, because, you know, I love the Pokemon fandom for the most part, but Game Freak in particular and the Pokemon company as a whole, they work in rather predictable ways. When they're going to announce something, they're going to tell you what they're going to announce. Like, even when the surprise stuff, like the Pokemon Let's Go news conference in Japan, which, you know, was really random, kind of came out of nowhere. We had notice. We didn't have a lot of notice, but we had notice about it. And so I do not understand. I do not understand why it is whenever Nintendo has any sort of Nintendo Direct, or whenever there's this just random stuff like a freaking space station event, why people always have to go, it's like, will this be the next Pokemon game announcement? Because it never is. People get upset, and it's just like, guys, you know, just enjoy what it is. Like, well, you know,
it was,
like,
it was a little disheartening to see. I mean, not disheartening. Disheartening is too strong of a word. But like, so I had the stream playing, you know, in a separate tab, and I was just trying to keep, you know, just trying to keep my eyes on it, see if we got anything. It was cool to see the Rayquaza thing. But like, the chat was just full of Pokemon fans being like, yes, Gen 4 remakes, Gen 4 remakes, Gen 4 remakes. And like, it didn't happen. And then all of a sudden the comments are like, we got Jep, new guy, what is this? It's like, it's, they act like we didn't get something. Like, it's,
yeah,
you
know, right.
They gave us, or they gave Japan a special Pikachu.
Well, we get it too.
Oh, do we get it?
Yeah. Just got to show, know. Just have to sign into a Pokemon Sword and Shield. Get yourself a new Pikachu. With the move Celebrate, which is one of the most absolutely useless moves in the history of the game.
Yeah, but it's a fun one.
Yes,
it's a cheerful move.
It's a cheerful move.
It literally does nothing other than says, congratulations, trainer. You have a Pokemon with this move. And then your Pokemon gets wrecked right afterwards because it didn't do any damage to the opposing Pokemon.
Nickfighter 31, more useful than Splash?
That's debatable. I mean, they both do. Wow. They both do no damage. One just, the difference is one flops around uselessly and the other one, the Pokemon pops out of a gift box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know? The other one brings you joy and happiness. It doesn't frustrate you.
I mean, Splash brings me joy because I just get to watch my Magikarp flop around uselessly. And, you know, obviously, you know, judging from my shirt, I'm a fan of that. So
this is true.
I need to play more Magikarp Jump.
More useful than a Geodude. That's
all
true.
All right.
Thanks,
Huckleberry Flynn. Wow. All right. Let's talk about Pokemon Go wants to make you an NPC, and then we'll take a quick break.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I totally forgot about that. Yeah, Pokemon Go. So they're doing their Pokemon Go Tour Kanto here next weekend. That's the paid event, which gives you all, you get a chance to get all the shinies, including the shiny Mew. One of the things that they're doing is they want to add players as NPCs. So basically your avatar could show up as an NPC along with a team of three Pokemon to battle. So they are setting it up as basically you finally get a chance to become an NPC in a Pokemon game. Not quite the same because it's Pokemon Go, but the intent is pretty cool. And all you have to do is post a picture of your outfit on Twitter along with your three Pokemon and a hashtag, which I can't remember.
So it's a pretty cool little thing.
Yeah.
You're going to do the event or?
Probably not. I'll be honest. I don't know. Maybe if I do something, I'll throw it up using the Pokemon Pod CB Twitter account. Yeah. That maybe I'll do something, but you know, I guess what we might end up doing is maybe picking, you know, doing a Bulbasaur, Geodude, Vaporeon team, you know, and use it, do the Pokemon Pod CB, kind of like, I feel like if we're going to do something, that's how we would do it.
I like that.
So, but we'll make it an Alolan Geodude. So
no, come on, that's the worst one.
I mean, no, it's a Geodude with, you know, eyebrows painted onto it. I mean,
I hate that Geo. I hate the Alolan Geodude so much.
Wow, that is a very strong
so
feeling
weird.
For you about
how is that weird? I just look. I just give me the ball Geodude. I don't need any extra.
See, I imagine if Geodudes were things in the real world, people would be graffitiing on them constantly. So you know.
Oh my gosh, you're so right. You're so right. Oh, they would be so graffitied.
Oh, it would.
Poor guys. Yeah,
all right. Well, let's take a quick break, and then when we get back, we'll talk about, oh God, the horrifying Pikachu.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bull & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bull & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and Branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay. So there is a new, is plush the right word? Body pillow?
It's like a body pillow.
It's more like a plush body pillow.
Yeah, it's more like a body pillow. And it is Pikachu as a centipede, basically. And it's horrifying.
It's amazing.
Absolutely horrifying.
I just want to make it clear. I have ordered one. I did order one off. It's from AliExpress. And I believe that's a Chinese online realtor or retailer. So, yeah, I have ordered one. We'll see if it ever comes in. I got the little one. So, basically, it's this body pillow. It's just like a long centipede. The best way I can describe it, as well did Huckleberry Finn in the comments, is Pokemon meets the human centipede, if you are aware of that horror movie. Yeah. It's basically just like a little Pikachu head and then like a ton of little Pikachus connected from end to end to end. And they can articulate to make like, you know, a body pillow or a neck rest or whatever. Oh, there's different links that you can buy. But it's really... really disconcerting. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I understand why they would not do Phalanx, right? Because I mean, like, this Phalanx is the one that makes the most sense. But like, no, correct. who's gonna buy a Phalanx linked body pillow? Like, I mean, nobody. I don't know if Richard can pull up the episode thumbnail, but we do have it there. I'll give him a second to see if he can cue it so everyone watching can kind of see. There it is in the picture right there. It truly is one of the weirdest looking things I have seen in a while. Look, Pokemon. Thank you, Richard. The Pokemon company, or you know, has this. And to be fair, I don't think this is from the Pokemon company, but like,
no,
you know, it is a licensed product, I believe. And
it might not be.
I saw nowhere on there that this was officially licensed or approved or vetted in any way.
So this is just a weird, terrifying knockoff thing. And look, there are plenty of those. Many of them exist.
So. The thing that creeps me out the most about that pillow is the fact that it has segments. Not just one continuous pillow. Because then it would just be like, oh, it's like Long Cat, only Pikachu.
Dredge Knight in the comments, Onyx would make a great one. That makes perfect sense. But wait, didn't the Pokemon Company also put out not a body-sized pillow one, but didn't they put a G-Maxed Meowth?
No, it was a body pillow.
Oh, it was a body pillow. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, what else do you call a like 6 foot long Meowth?
Yeah. Like it was legitimately like 6 feet tall. The sizes of this Pikachu monstrosity, I think the shortest is like just like almost 5 foot, and then the biggest one is like 5'8". So like either way, this is like a pretty long thing, and like it articulates and it'll stay in shape based on like each of the segmented parts. So like you could make like a neck rest or whatever. I don't want to know what you want to do with it.
I was going to say, you're articulating Pikachu's torso. It's weird. It's weird.
Look, there are plenty of other like snake-type
Caterpie. I'd be happy if it was like a Caterpie, even.
A Dratini or a Dragonair. Hell, I would even take an Arbok.
Yeah, I just don't. I mean,
for all our edge lords, we can get a Seviper body pillow. I love Seviper, but
I purchased this thing as a test of faith. To see if it would come in. That's the first thing. Two, how long is it going to take? And three, I just want to see it in person and know try to figure out what the methodology was behind this.
Bruce Bain in the comments saying that's basically a Henry Cavill-sized Pikachu. Not wrong.
You're right. Not wrong at all. Yeah. I mean, you can still find it on AliExpress as of last night, because that's when I ordered it.
I can't wait till you get it. I just hope it's not like one of those, like, you know, ordering from Wish, and it's like drastically different.
Or it's really just like 5 inches or something, not like really a body pillow. Yeah, it's under like a super weird name. We've written about it on the site, so you can find like the direct link there. But I'm very I'm concerned I'm going to get a call from like customs and they're going to be like,
I can't wait.
What is this? I can't wait. It's the best country. So we'll see.
I'm so glad you got one. I can't wait.
I am so excited. I really considered it. And then I was like, you know what?
So Christian posed an interesting question in the script that if there was a one minor change that would turn a Pokemon into something truly terrifying, what would it be? Christian, did you have one in mind when you made this question?
No. I basically wanted to come up and see what sort of horrifying things you guys came up with. some of the things that I was thinking of was kind of like, you know, like for instance, like with Mr. Rime, like if his face truly was on his stomach, things like that. Making some Pokemon a little bit longer. One thing that I was thinking of that would be truly horrifying was giving Mr. Mime fingernails.
No, why?
Skinny Snorlax.
Oh no, that is a cursed image.
Like emaciated.
Oh no, that's such a cursed image. Why would you even?
I think even something as simple, like when we've talked about it, because it was one of the Pokemon facts of the week. If they gave Vileplume fangs, because we know Vileplume is carnivorous. I think is something that would terrify me quite a bit.
Yeah.
Like a Pikachu with a full set of teeth.
I feel like any Pokemon with like sharpened fangs just automatically becomes more terrifying, because we know logistically Pokemon eat each other. They just very few of them have the teeth to do so, except probably Bayleaf. Feel like we're fine without them having fangs. But I would be very terrified. I want to say Nick Fighter 31 has the correct answer by saying Mimikyu without its costume. They can never show us that because I feel like they would just kill everyone. But
I do love a trimmed Tangela too. Trimmed Tangela is also a very, very good one. Like a golem without a shell.
Well, just imagine a golem that's exploded and is reconstituting itself.
Oh no!
I imagine it's like a Deadpool or Wolverine type scenario, right? Where it's like charred, fleshy bits that just like are
like rolling back into place.
I want to know what's inside of Shellder. Like, if you cook Shellder and it opened up, like, I want to see what the shadow is without the shadow.
Well, I was going to say a Cloyster with just an actual human face instead of like, you know, that like black, you know, kind of like pearl face where you just open it up and it's just a freaking actual like human face.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Like a Gyarados with fur.
The textures on that just don't work.
It's like, yeah, that's just weird because it's just a fish with fur. That's what makes that weird.
A Slowking without its crown is also a pretty good one.
Well, we sort of see that in the latest in the infamous Magikarp episode of Pokemon Journeys. Doesn't he put on like Ash's hat or something like that, or maybe it's like a ramen cup. I forget exactly what the nuance is there. Yeah. As I've
thought that like there would have been more of a cone shape to Slowking's head that would just allow the shell to kind of fit. But I guess if it fits kind of round, I guess it could sit there. I just assumed, you know, the shell needed more to.
No, because it's actively clamping down.
That's true, right? On
his head. Which is also just, oh man, what if his brain is exposed?
Oh no!
Oh man, that's terrifying. Just awful. Oh man.
No.
Yeah, no. Like, let's just be glad the Pokemon, the people who designed Pokemon haven't had too many misses.
Yeah.
Many misses. That's all I could come up with the deep dive this week, because there was like no news.
Yeah. No, well, it's funny because, kind of going back to the Gucci thing from earlier a little bit, it's weird when things like this happen, because there will, I don't know if this happens to anyone else, but other people in my orbit who are more like, just like, oh, a Gucci and Pokemon thing. What does that mean? Like, so they like pop up and they're like, what is that? What is this? Is this a cool thing? I'm like, it's literally just Gucci clothes for your virtual character. Like that's what it is. And they're like, oh, but like, it also brought a thing. Like, I can't wait basically for like a Supreme Charizard. Because you know, like you know, it's coming. Like it has to.
Oh yeah, there's well, no way. Given how popular, especially given how like popular Supreme is, I know as a brand in Japan, it's 900% happening. It's there's no way it's not happening. I'm waiting for like a Betsy Johnson version of a character.
Just, but like, that's the thing, right? Like, but is that stuff? Is that stuff going to be crazy ass expensive?
Probably. I mean,
it's Pokemon Go, but there's no way Supreme would let that stuff be, you know.
So just cheap. As someone who has never actually experienced Supreme, and this is literally the first I'm hearing of it, is Supreme just known for just having its freaking red and white
red box?
That's it.
Yep.
That's the lamest.
Look, they made Supreme Oreos.
Looking at this and it's just like
so they made like and this is sorry another tangent but like there was a 3-pack of Supreme Oreos that are selling for like thousands of dollars on eBay.
This is the I'm looking at like the Supreme stores.
It's three Oreos that are red, but they have the Supreme logo where it says where it normally says Oreo.
I truly do not understand. Like, you know, there would be, you know, like, because I actually, you know, like this shirt came from one of like I can't remember what collaboration it is. Like I do like some of the collaborations that Pokemon does. You know, like I really like the original Stitch stuff. Like when people get innovative,
yep,
it's really cool. The North Face times Gucci, it's all it is. It's just the North Face clothes. That collaboration as Pokemon Go avatar items. And that's lame to me. It's absolutely just like do something Pokemon-y with them. Like, you know, like I really like when these different brands actually go and utilize the property, you know, like actually get like wild and a little bit innovative with it, as opposed to just doing like safe stuff. And like looking at Supreme, you know, all it would be is like what? Like Supreme clapped up, like, you know, plastered in front of like whatever the generic stock art for Charizard is probably. And, you know, then they're going to sell it for like $600.
Maybe they make like Supreme Pokeballs or something. That would actually be kind of, they'd be super expensive though.
Yeah. Like I do not understand some of these like fashion brands at all. Like, you know, like maybe it's just because I'm a filthy casual. Like, you know, my idea, because, you know, in case you haven't figured this out, I own a pretty extensive t-shirt collection. But I buy t-shirts that look cool. Like, you know, the weirder or cooler. In fact, one of my, you know, my 9-year-old neighbor told me that I had the coolest t-shirt collection. I wear the coolest t-shirts.
You do. I mean, you do have a cool t-shirt collection.
She truly peaked that compliment.
I know. I was about to say, when the 9-year-old thinks that I'm cool, you know, then there's really nothing else I need in life. I've officially hit the top. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the Pokemon fact of the week.
Pinsir is known as the stag beetle Pokemon. Vikavolt is also known as the stag beetle Pokemon, and not surprisingly, the two Pokemon have a fierce rivalry together. Now, kind of the interesting thing, and I need to like make sure. So part of this is there are actual, like, you know, so insect fighting is a Japanese tradition, and stag beetles actually are some of the more popular insects to use in insect fighting. And so that is why Pinsir and Vikavolt go at each other, because they're both stag beetles. They both are involved in insect fighting, and stag beetles naturally fight in the wild when attempting to determine a mate. So it's just one of those like weird, you know, those Pokemon classifications actually shockingly come in handy for once and explain a very unusual Pokedex entry there. So, yeah, that's your Pokefact of the week. Stag beetles get into insect fights, and therefore so do Pinsir and Vikavolt. They just go at each other with their, Pinsir things.
Yeah, is Heracross not a stag beetle?
No, Heracross is
a stag beetle. Oh, right. Mm-hmm. That's, I don't know enough about beetles to determine one way or the other. I just assumed.
Yeah, no, that's and those two, so Pinsir and Heracross typically do not get along, except for in the Alola region.
Yep.
They're rhinoceros beetles. The Hercules beetle is what Mega Heracross is based off of. So different kind of beetles there. Mm-hmm.
This is a very strange tangent, but in my efforts to do job with anime writing and everything here at Comic Book, I have many a times wandered into the Japanese section of TikTok trying to search for anime videos. Instead, I have found there's like a very popular underground sect of like TikTok videos about insect fighting. I have found so many TikTok videos from Japanese users who upload stag beetles fighting. So when I saw this, all I could immediately think was like of Pinsir and Vikavolt just like immediately like chilling in the woods or something. And as soon as they see each other, they're just like basically JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Like, oh, are you approaching me? It's time to fight. Like that is my favorite thing. And now I need an episode about it of just like a Pinsir just trying to like get back to his trainer and just keeps running into Vikavolt's and it's like, well, guess I gotta beat you down now.
That's fair. All right, let's get to I do want to we haven't read reviews in a while, so I definitely mm-hmm. want to do that. We got one in from frequent Twitch viewer Huckleberry Flynn. 5 stars. Greeting from the Spotify region. I wanted to leave a review for a while, but I only use Android and the other non-Apple devices. After enough convincing of my wife, I'm finally able to hijack her iPhone and leave you guys a review. That being said, I just wanted to say that Geodude, Vaporeon, and Bulbasaur are all great because Jim, Megan, and Christian are all phenomenal hosts, as well as a big thank you to all the great people behind the scenes to ensure we keep getting this fantastic show every week. I've been hooked since day one, and I've been a fan since I was 10 years old. My favorite Pokemon is Heracross, and I think we can all safely agree that the worst Pokemon that no one likes or even uses is Dunsparce. Hot take. Not really. Keep up the great work and making great content. I just want to end by asking, what's one type of combination that you would like to see added to a future game? Personally, I really want a fairy ground type. I get why every type of combination hasn't been achieved, but seriously, there's been 8 generations. What the heck?
Well, one, I will say this episode is absolutely excellent for Huckleberry Finn because we're talking about all the Beatles today. Man, I gotta think about a combination though.
Rival John's got a. I don't. There isn't fairy fire, right? That's an interesting.
Yeah, fairy fire. I was gonna fire grass is the one I'm going with, because yeah. I think that like a wildfire Pokemon would be pretty cool. I've. In case you haven't figured it out by looking behind me, I play a lot of D&D, and they just released a new Circle of Wildfire Druid. So it's all about, controlled burns in the wilderness. So that reminds me of, a fire grass combo kind of reminds me of that. So that's my choice. Trying to think what else. About a third of the unused types are normal combos. So you've got like normal ice, normal poison, normal bug, normal rock, normal ghost, and normal steel. Then you've got fire grass and fire fairy, electric fighting, which you would have thought that Zeraora would have been electric fighting, but they went with straight electric for that. You have ice poison, which I think would be a really cool one. Fighting ground and fighting fairy. Poison steel, which makes no sense because, those two don't sync up at all. Ground fairy, then you have bug dragon and bug dark. Bug dragon, you'd think that something like Flygon Sandmega, there's a missed opportunity there. And then rock ghost. And then there are two that are only used by Mega Evolutions, which is psychic dragon and dragon fairy. So those have only, right now, in Pokemon Sword and Shield, those two are not available. You know, those two are not available since they're Mega Evolution exclusives.
Yeah. I do like Rock Ghost was going to be mine just as a way to marry my two favorite Pokemon together. But yeah, that would like it's interesting that like there are still those types kind of available to us. And I get, you know, I'm sure there are probably metagame reasons why, and you know, it's how do you balance certain things if you introduce those combinations. But it would be interesting. Huh.
Well, I think it's not as much for balance. You know, I think it's more, just to hold, you know, they're trying to keep stuff back in reserve. So,
oh yeah, just for other things. I think it'll be, cause did we get many new combos for Sword and Shield?
We got a couple.
Yeah, we got a couple, right? Yeah.
I can't remember what combos, Sword and Shield. Give me 1 second, pulling it up.
Oh, here we go.
So yeah, we actually got a lot. Bug Psychic was new. Ice Bug, Fire Ice, because Galarian Darmatan is a Fire Ice. Poison Fairy, Poison Electric, Electric Dark, and Dark Fairy. So all of those were new combinations that had not previously appeared, before Gen 7. Or Gen 7. So before Pokemon Sword and Shield.
Nice.
So interesting type combos.
Yeah. Well, Huckberry Finn, thank you for that. Hit me up, hit email editor@comicbook.com with your address, and we'll save it on the list for when we get back in there to send some shirts out. If you want to leave a review, that's one of the best ways to support the show. So head on over to iTunes, and if you leave us a 5-star review and read it on the air, a shirt can be yours too. Like I said, you can, if you want to follow along the show live, like I said, every Wednesday, noon Eastern, you can find us there. And then, otherwise, you know, wherever podcasts can be found, that's where, you know, like I said, Spotify, where there's a bunch of other folks. And, but yeah, otherwise just get involved on Twitter. You can find me @JimViscardi.
You can find me on Twitter @MeganPetersCB.
And I am @CHoffercBus.
And then, of course, as always, the show handle is @PokemonPodCB. I know the one thing that I promised that we would have done last week that we didn't, so I'm going to get I'll get the codes from Christian and Megan, is that we will, on Twitter, put out our Pokemon Go codes. So if you want to add us as friends, feel free to do so. And then, you know, like I said, well, you know, let's do some raids, y'all. Otherwise, I appreciate everyone for tuning in to watch, and for everyone at home listening. Until next time, man. Well, we'll catch you next time.